Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
You're listening to the Odd Music Radio Shower
with Jacob
and
Andrew
on
WRFULPERB. We need an adapter so Andrew can have headphones.
Yes, I'm completely deaf to you.
Here, have these.
Then what happens?
I'll figure out what I'm going to do.
Thank you for listening. We're here every Tuesday night, 11 to midnight, it so happens. And we have a special radio feature today of the Utterbot, which maybe you know something about already.
And maybe you don't.
It's an instrument, and Jacob here found a pair of broken...
Ow, that hurts.
Oh.
Okay, that
okay.
Will do.
Headphones. that he's now wearing. Jacob here is the inventor of the Utterbot. One of them, or a co-inventor or something.
Hi, welcome. Great to be here.
Welcome to the show.
So,
tell me about the Utterbot.
You're probably wondering what the Utterbot is.
What kind of a thing is that?
It's a woodwind instrument. It's a woodwind because it's a column of air, or a vessel of air that's being excited with breath. And... it's very unusual because it's a slide woodwind instrument. There are not very many of those besides the slide whistle or Swanee whistle. And I don't actually know. There was a slide saxophone invented in the 19th century.
Huh.
Didn't catch on.
Okay.
And of course, lots of sliding is possible on a number of instruments, but not large range sweeps such as on the Utterbot. The whole range is sweepable.
Marvelous. So, for instance, a trombone would be a slide brass instrument, and it doesn't allow the full slide from the bottom to the top of the range like that. Is that right?
That's right. So it's a rather unique instrument. It's composed of a bottle, glass bottle, usually a beer bottle size, that has its bottom removed. And you can do that in a number of ways, some of them involving fire and ice and sharp objects. Then, once you've removed the bottle, you replace the bottom of the bottle with a glove, which will hold the water. And it will act as a sort of movable water reservoir that you can squeeze such that the water reaches varying levels inside the bottle. So here's the lowest one. If I squeeze a little more, get something like... and so on. And in that way, a whole continuous scale can be attained.
So Jacob here is adjusting the pitch of the instrument by squeezing the glove. So the actual volume of water is in the glove, and he pushes it up into the bottle.
It's a very intuitive kind of interface. You don't have to memorize a lot of fingerings. You just have to learn the basic motion of sliding the glove in and out. And then your ear, you pretty much have to rely on your ear to figure out if you're hitting the right note, because you can't really see where the water is. Although, it could be done with colored water.
Jacob, let's trade headphones, since you have an Utterbot and I don't.
No, I'm fine, honestly.
You're sure? I mean,
well,
really now.
We can talk about it when we play the music.
Oh, yes.
I brought some tracks of Utterbot.
Great.
And if you want to weigh in or ask other questions, the number here is 344-2536. But I'm going to go into playing... the pieces I was writing right before the Utterbot was discovered or invented, I was writing for choirs of tuned bottles. So I wrote these two little pieces that use 21 bottles, each of which are tuned in a very precise way, for 11 players, each of which had one or two bottles. And they would do it in sort of a handbell fashion, where you only get one little part of the melody. So the first one is called Fanfare. And it goes something like this. Mm-hmm. And that was it. That was a little miniature called Fanfare. And
great.
Then this one here is called Sentinel.
Cute.
Thanks.
Now was that actually several performers, or was that multi-tracked one person?
That was the studio version of me doing it a bunch of times.
Uh-huh.
I do have the live version. However, they weren't able to play it very fast, and so I was not so happy with that.
Right.
And so I wasn't happy with that. And I was collecting lots and lots of bottles, and it was taking up a lot of space. And I thought, well, if I just have one bottle where I can adjust the water level from underneath, then that would save a lot of time and space. And it would be fun, besides. So this was at the Gesundheit Institute in West Virginia in 2005. And we were working really hard on how to get that bottom out of the bottle. We boiled it on the stove for like half an hour, and then we plunged it in ice water, and it made an ugly, jagged crack. But it worked. You could play it on a surface of water, and you could move closer to the surface of water, and it would swoop up. The thing about that was that the water had somewhere to go, and so when you played, the pressure of your air was pushing down and making a standing wave, giving you this kind of uneasy vibrato the whole time, kind of. So it was good for atmospheric environmental music. We used it to great effect in a 40-minute nature walk piece that ended by swimming off into the sunset. But the concert version was yet to come, when horn player and friend of mine from Virginia Beach, Matt Gray, said, well, you could just put a latex glove on there, and that would contain the water and let you squeeze at different levels. I didn't think much of it at the time, but then I tried it, and it worked magnificently.
Fantastic.
And so I was preparing a recital, and on the recital, I wrote a piece for six Utterbots called Three Shavings, and they sounded something like this. Thank you.
Concur with that.
Very that howl. One enthusiastic audience member.
So when was this performance?
That was the fall of 2005.
Okay.
A few months after the invention of the Utterbot.
Then you had the same piece performed again recently.
Yes, by the Performers Workshop Ensemble in Urbana, Illinois.
2010. That's
actually
the one. 10.
Yeah. So I've been working in the last 5 years more on solo work with the Utterbot and just trying to improve my accuracy and technique, because I figure I could get other people to play it, but before I'm able to play it in a convincing fashion, then what's the reason for anyone else to want to pick it up? Besides the matter that it's extremely easy to make. You can make it under an hour with less than $5 worth of materials.
And it's a little trickier to learn, right?
Yeah, and so I'm trying to kind of push the boundary on that.
So this particular feature tonight is timely. There's a performance coming up that I imagine you're going to get around to talking about.
Oh, thanks. I'm doing an Utterbot recital on Friday, August 20th at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center, which is where we're broadcasting from. This is 202 South Broadway in downtown Urbana, the old post office. It's at 8 p.m. on Friday, August 20th. And it'll be a recital, mostly of solo and chamber works that I've commissioned composers to write.
So some of these pieces are brand new.
Yes.
Never to have been heard.
Some of them are premieres, and a few of them are adaptations of older pieces of music that happen to work quite well on Utterbot, or at least that's what I'm hoping. To give you a taste of the live Utterbot edge, as it were, I'm going to perform now the thing that I performed a few months after that recital in 2005. This was a Halloween concert, and tradition at Rice University is to do a P.D.Q. Bach-themed P.D.Q. Bach and Friends concert that's sort of a whole concert of spoof music. And so this kind of fit in just a sort of comical way with the evening. This is the Queen of the Night aria from Mozart's Magic Flute as performed on Utterbot.
Live in the studio.
This
very second.
The piano is not, but here we go.
Thank you.
Magnificent.
Thanks.
You've shown with that just how expressive the utterbutt can be. It's as expressive as any classical instrument could be, I think.
Well, yeah, that's the line I was writing in the early days. Is this thing just going to be a novelty that kind of falls by the wayside of serious musical interest? Although it seems that all of the novelties that have happened, like the toy piano, the musical saw, eventually they too kind of get this professional treatment. You have concertos for saw, and you have Margaret Lang Tan, who's a toy piano virtuoso who commissions new music and plays in concerts all over. So maybe it's just a matter of time that a novelty is lasting. But that's what I really wanted to find out, is this just going to be a gimmick, or does it have lasting musical value? And now I want to say that the arabot is the chief musical instrument that I play, in addition to piano and clarinet and saxophone and bassoon, which I haven't really practiced as much recently.
It seems to me that most of the music I've heard for utterbutt has been written seriously, not as a joke.
Yeah, I guess it's sort of just a matter of time. And I guess if I had just dropped the utterbutt after a few months, then it would have retroactively been able to be called a novelty instrument. I don't know. I guess if I take it seriously, it's serious. If you want to weigh in on this issue, the number is 344-2536 WRFU. I really don't know.
Well.
Yes.
What else have you got for us to hear tonight?
Well,
Jacob,
I mean, it's been 5 years. I've tried a lot of different little things with the utterbutt. I tried it in kind of a chamber music setting with a bunch of other instruments, and it's kind of a poorly executed piece. Let's see, what was it called? Wake Up. No, I don't happen to have that with me, and I don't want to play it anyway.
Okay. So that's something like utterbutt plus violin plus
and
piano.
I find that it's kind of a soft-sounding instrument in comparison to maybe even the violin. I mean, the violin...
It doesn't hold up acoustically.
The violin really kind of shimmers out acoustically. The utterbutt has a very subdued kind of tone. It doesn't carry so much in a concert hall. It's when you hear it for the first time, you're not really sure if that's music or it's just some kind of sound effect. But with proper amplification, it can kind of rival other instruments. Or with things like guitar, it's worked very well.
Right, and in a smaller sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember a piece that my friend composer at Rice, Francisco Castillo Trigueros, wrote that was him playing very softly on a guitar and myself playing very softly on an utterbutt. It worked quite well. Yeah, I can go to a more recent example for that kind of chamber music.
Yeah. I'm also curious some of the arrangements that are going to be on this concert. Some of the different ways the utterbutt is paired with other instruments or featured as a solo.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a few that are electronic accompaniment. There's two older adaptations of pieces that were, one of them was for soprano and electronics. And so I'm doing the soprano part. And didn't have any words, so you don't really lose any meaning. And the other was by Kyle Gann called Fractured Paradise that was originally just all synthesized ensemble. Kyle Gann writes music in just intonation a lot of the time, which means that he can't really play it so easily on traditional instruments because they don't have the right pitches in them. And this was a 16-note per octave just intonation scale that makes very little differences relevant, but it was just a tuning study. It was kind of a country western thing, and he didn't, he didn't pursue performing it, getting some performance. Well, there was a live performance. I'm not sure. I think he usually plays the bell part. But I took the flute part, which happened to be within the range of an utterbutt, and made a version without that so that I could play along with it. So I could play that for you as a teaser for this concert.
That sounds marvelous.
Okay, so this is Fractured Paradise by Kyle Gann.
Remarkable.
It was Fractured Paradise by Kyle Gann.
Was that another Utterbot recorded at the end, or is that?
Yes, there's a little where it breaks into two-part harmony, I pre-recorded another Utterbot part.
Very nice. Two-part Utterbot. Sounds great.
Point of clarification, the Utterbot is spelled UDDERBOT. And that comes from, this is a neologism by my friend Ben Grow, trumpet player and educator and wordsmith. Ben Grow saw the glove hanging down, kind of reminiscent of an udder, a cow's udder, and bot is simply a shortening of the word bottle, which is a nice way to refer to the bottle with the bottom cut off, mm-hmm. just a bot. So udder bot. It's sometimes mistakenly referred to as the utter bot, which has nice implications for the way that it's a vocal kind of instrument. It can kind of mimic the speech patterns on it.
Mm-hmm.
I've also heard utter butt, which is just flat out wrong.
That could be an utter butt. This isn't it.
This is an utter bot. Would you like to hear some more music?
I really would.
I have a few other things. I'm going to play a particular musical interlude from a recent musical, theatrical production that both of us were in, called Aquatown.
Yes.
It was a production of the Change of State Performance Project here in the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center. And I was part of the pit, and there was a pit band. They played lots of interludes that had soaring utterbot melodies. This is just one version of it. So, kind of short and sweet, a little pentatonic melody on utterbot. I'm not totally proud of the intonation on that recording. It's kind of swooping, so there's this way that you can kludge it if you're playing utterbot and you miss the note. You just kind of slide up until you get it, but it's kind of sloppy technique.
Hmm.
And that particular day, I was just getting out of a 7-hour car ride from Detroit, and I think I was rather careless. So, I don't want these recordings that I'm playing here to be wholly representative of what you'll get if you come on Friday, August 20th, to the Utterbot concert at 8 p.m.
Yes, I will attest that Jacob Barton here is not only the best Utterbot player in the entire universe, but also practicing his butt off for this recital.
See, this isn't an objective interview. Andrew's writing a piece.
That's true.
For Dulcimer, which you might have heard on previous Odd Music Radio showers.
You wouldn't have heard this piece.
But you would have heard the instrument.
Yes.
The O-tonal dulcimer.
Right. Jacob invited me to write a piece for him, and he has a giant list of things to include, none of which I've included at this point.
They're just suggestions.
There's a few days left. That's true. Suggestions. I guess the dulcimer might be on the list, so, and the utterbot is on the list, so those are a couple of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been great to have a challenge. And it'll be at least a movement of a piece that's ready to be performed and heard and talked about.
So you see, if you come on Friday, August 20th at 8 p.m., you'll hear music that hasn't even been written as of now.
What else even
to completion?
What else might have been written that isn't yet written for that?
Well, you know, I don't want to just call people out.
Yeah, that's true.
This thing will stand
that's
as a record.
So nice.
And we won't go there. But
there are other big local names. And
big local names.
So on.
Big local names and big not so local names.
It's crunch time for this concert, but people are getting excited.
There's Aaron Johnson from Chicago, who wrote an Utterbot solo called Utterbotsicle.
Ooh.
And that's in a nice microtonal scale that I asked him to write it in. Called 31 equal. I don't know if I can actually manage it. It's
a little difficult.
31 is gnarly because the notes are so close together. I can sort of sing them, but on Utterbot it kind of, I don't know, it breaks down. I could play just as an example of 31 equal. This is an alphabet song that I wrote one time. Just pause for a moment there. That was the rhythm of the song you might have learned as a child, A, B, C, D, and so forth. And maybe we'll try it as a sing-along here. Just try to tune into the notes. So I'll play it one more time from the beginning, and then we'll try to sing along. But it goes, now I know my, and then it just starts over. Just a little taste of 31. That's all of the different pitches of 31 equal. It's a 31 tone row.
Some of those are really close together.
Yes, like A, B, C, D, E, F. And one nice way that when you're singing to try to bring a pitch up a little bit is just to, and you just kind of brighten the timbre.
Add some nasality.
And it becomes perceived that way. So that's 31 equal, and that's hard to do on Utterbot, but I'm going to try on this concert. Now, I should mention that I've tried playing Utterbot in a few different styles. The first one I kind of tried, I mean, pre-existing styles. I write music, and it's not quite in a style, or that's new music. But there's a folk group in town that was called Oberon the Possum King. And now two of those members, Robin Kirtan and Tom Foe, go by the name Flexible Flyers. And I like sitting in with them. They play kind of old-time fiddle tunes, kind of an eclectic mix of things. The Utterbot really does well in that kind of setting. Usually those things are played by string bands. The Utterbot just kind of works as a folk instrument. I think of it as the folk instrument with no folks. kind of an orphan folk instrument. And it works well, I don't know, by its appearance and by its sound. It works well with things like guitar and accordion, kind of folk instruments. I've also sort of tried it with jazz. I can play the elitism rumba. This is an early recording, so you have to bear with the kind of poor utterbot playing. But you'll get the idea. This is in 17 equal, and it's kind of a 12-bar rumba, as it were. Let's see. The elitism rumba. I am an elitist superior to you. Kind of silly words.
I confess I was more listening to the piano that whole time, partly because it was louder. But
yeah, that was a recording.
That was an actual piano tuned to an odd scale, yes?
Yes. That was a subset of 17 tone equal, which you will hear on the Utterbot recital on Friday, August 20th at 8 p.m. at the UCIMC in downtown Urbana. Not that piece, but another piece by Dan Sedgwick called Romance.
I haven't heard this one yet.
Yes, and you will when you come to the concert. I won't give it away now, though.
Good.
I could play, though, a piece I was doing in 2009. I kind of made a New Year's resolution to learn a new Utterbot piece every month. And I had one in January, I had one in February, kind of missed March, and wrote one in April.
The
one
that's right.
From January was a good old classic by Olivier Messiaen from Quartet for the End of Time, which he wrote while he was in a concentration camp. Really an inspiring story and all of that. Louange à l'éternité de Jésus, Praise to the Eternity of Jesus, for cello and piano in this version. He also has another version with six ondes martenot. Ondes martenot is an electronic instrument that sounds a lot like an utterbot, but predates it. Anyway, here it is, me trying to play it on utterbot with Snow Leopard Iscariot accompanying on piano.
Thank you.
That was Praise to the Eternity of Jesus by Messiaen, as performed by myself, Jacob Barton, on the Utterbot back in 2009, January.
I was here at the Independent Media Center.
Yes,
as well.
at the Odd Music Convergence. That was the seminal moment of our organization, which is called Odd Music, Urbana-Champaign.
Right.
And so this concert on Friday, August 20th at 8 p.m., which you can go to utterbot.wikispaces.com for more details about. This concert is a presentation of Odd Music. We're trying to do kind of an event every month or two. In June, we had a garden concert.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually the recording you heard a little bit earlier, the Aquadown thing that was from that. And this time it's an Utterbot recital. And next time, who knows? But one of the defining features of our things is that we're trying to encourage people to make music in ways that they wouldn't otherwise. And so that's definitely what this Utterbot concert is about. We asked about 16 people to write Utterbot pieces that they would not write if I had not asked them to. And my goodness, I mean, nobody would be saying the word Utterbot unless the Utterbot was invented, so it all is kind of nice.
Yeah. I'm stoked.
There will be, in the week following the concert, starting August 23rd, we're going to try having here at the IMC a long-lasting Utterbot marching choir. So taking aspects of the marching band and of a choir and lots of Utterbots. So everyone will play Utterbot and at least one other instrument. Again, go to utterbot.wikispaces.com for more details on that. Yes.
UDDERBOT.
WIKISPACES.COM. Yeah, tryouts are August 23rd. But don't worry if you don't get in at that point. It'll be an ongoing effort. So, I mean, this is supposed to be like, okay, now I've done the solo work, and now let's try to make the ensemble.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like that. And I think it will be a good thing. It will make odd music, anyway. There's no way to not make odd music with an Utterbot. Don't you think?
Yeah, you'd have to really... It would be really odd to make non-odd music with an Utterbot. You'd
and
have
see,
to really try
there
hard.
You go. It would be odd.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you're stuck.
Problem.
So that might be it for this Odd Music Radio Shower. This has been the shameless promotion of self hour.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the Utterbot concert.
Speaking of which.
Friday, August 20th. Tune in next week for more shameless self-promotion. A little bit more. We'll have more people in town, and we'll probably be talking about it even more.
Yeah.
So if you're nauseous and you'd like to play some vomiting sounds on the air, please call 344-2536, and we'll phone you right in.
And also tune your computers to utterbot.wikispaces.com.
Yeah, eat your heart out. But barring that, I guess this is it for tonight. And also, thank you for joining us, if you have joined us. Thank you for listening, if you are listening.
And tune in next time, 11 p.m., probably, on Tuesday nights, 11 to midnight.
Here on WRFU LP Urbana.
Jacob, thank you for performing tonight and bringing all these pieces.
Oh, you're welcome.
I always enjoy hearing the Utterbot.
Thanks.
The material, the repertoire of the Utterbot is very strange, too.
Hmm.
I mean, this will be the first Utterbot recital, I suppose, but I know it will be full of incredibly weird music and wonderful stuff that I want to hear. Someone could potentially make an Utterbot concert that I wouldn't want to hear, but this will not be it.
Well, thank you for that endorsement. Can I quote you on that?
Right, put that on the
I need inspirational
on the flyers
quotes.
Aren't made yet. Great. Good. If you would like to make a flyer for the Utterbot recital, call 344-2536.
Or email utterbot@gmail.com.
Yeah. Send your Utterbot love letters.
No spam.
With ASCII Utterbots.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Thank you for everything. Bye-bye.